If you would turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter is where we'll be looking at this evening by way of invitation. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 9, we're told that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In order that we don't perish, we must come to repentance. And so how do we get to that repentance? Well, we have a great example of that by the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. As we're studying on Sunday mornings in the adult Bible class, we're looking at Paul's epistles and his journeys and the lessons that we can learn from his writings. And in 1 Corinthians, we learn a lot about what not to do from the Corinthian brethren there. But we see in 2 Corinthians that they fixed many of those things that Paul was admonishing them for in his first epistle to them. And one of those things that we can learn from them is what true repentance is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 8, Paul tells the Corinthian brethren there, "For even if I made you sorry with my letter," speaking of the first Corinthian letter he wrote to them, "I do not regret it, though I did regret it. For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a little while." It may seem on the surface that Paul is contradicting himself a bit here. He says, "I do not regret it, though I did regret it." He regretted the fact that he had to write the letter because that meant that they were in sin and needed to be admonished. But because of the results of it, he didn't regret it because they repented of that and they made it right. He goes on to say in verse 9, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly matter, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death." And so we see here the way that we get to full repentance, the way that we get that repentance that is going to save us from perishing, as we are told in 2 Peter, is by having that godly sorrow. Dad mentioned in the class tonight, Adrian Peterson, he's one of many. If you follow the NFL at all, they're just having scandal after scandal and one thing after another coming up. And we see when those athletes get in trouble, we see when celebrities get in trouble, and the media talks to them about those things, they say they're sorry, but in most cases, they're really sorry that they got caught. Not truly sorry for what they did. If they were truly sorry for what they did, then they would do everything that they could possibly do to make that right. But instead, what we see is they're just trying to save face and they're trying to get people to like them again as quickly as they possibly can. But we see in 2 Corinthians what true sorrow is, what godly sorrow is. Notice what the godly sorrow that the Corinthians had led them to do in verse 11 there. He says, "For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indication, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourselves to be clear of this matter." The sorrow that the Corinthians had was such that they did everything that they possibly could to make right the wrong that they did. They listened to Paul's admonition that he gave them in the first letter. They cleared themselves, and they did that with a zeal that proved that they were truly sorrowful for what they had done. And that's exactly what we have to do in order to save ourselves from perishing. We have to have that godly sorrow. We have to have that sorrow that leads us to do whatever we can to turn away from whatever it was that we were doing that separated us from God, that sin that we were committing. And we have to prove to God, essentially, like the Corinthians did, that we are not going to do that again, that we've turned away from that. And it's that godly sorrow that leads us to that true repentance. He finishes up there in verse 12, speaking to them about this matter. He says, "Therefore, although I wrote to you, I did not do it for the sake of him who had done the wrong, nor for the sake of him who suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear to you." Paul cared for the Corinthians so much that he was willing to admonish them about those things so that they could make it right. And we see that they did that with their godly sorrow which led to that true repentance, which is what God asked of every one of us. There may be some in the audience tonight who are alien sinners who have never had that godly sorrow and have never truly repented of the sins that they have committed. But perhaps you've heard something tonight or you've been studying and you've come to have that godly sorrow and you want to turn away from that life of sin and unrighteousness and turn to God, be baptized into Christ's church and to clear yourself of all of those wrongdoings as we see that the Corinthians did there in the text we read this evening. There also may be some who have done that initially and have recently committed some sort of sin or turned away from the things that you should be doing and have that godly sorrow once again and want to make things right. If we can help you in any of those ways, we offer the opportunity to you tonight to come forward as we now stand and sing the song of invitation.